Let's get into another episode of Movie Mastery. It is the podcast where you are deciding what we go to watch, and then we let you know how terrible it was. I am your host, John, over here. Also a host, Jeff. Not your host, just a host.
I'm just a host? Is that a demotion?
Yes. You will soon be B host. You are my B-list host.
Oh, okay. So at some point I was a name host, and then I just went to a letter host.
Yeah.
Okay. I was trying to figure out what the hierarchy or the scale was in this situation.
I'm glad. You're getting paid for scale.
I'm getting paid?
Oh, wow.
Whoa. This is some demotion.
And this is our In Theaters Now, and we have a super special surprise guest with us. Everyone, please welcome James D'Amato.
Oh, hey, it was me.
It was me all along.
Yes, and now it's time for you to suffer.
I'm really happy to be here. I'm really happy that you guys brought me in as a My Little Pony expert.
Oh, yeah.
We needed one. This is the first time I've ever seen the new My Little Pony, like, in motion.
It's okay. I am intimately familiar with the Friendship is Magic universe for My Little Pony, and I can explain a lot. I imagine there's some confusion.
There's questions. Don't worry.
There's equestrians, please. That's what they call them.
Every pony has questions. So, yeah, that's right. We saw
My Little Pony. Is it actually Friendship is Magic, the name of the movie, or is it just My Little Pony, the movie?
My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic is the name of the series.
So I think it might just be My Little Pony, the movie.
Yeah.
I don't think they went with the motion picture.
We're about to get ripped
to
shreds.
That's only for Transformers. But, we did go see that. That is what won our poll this month, because you hate us. And don't want me specifically to be happy by sending me to go see a horror film during October.
I mean, they could have sent you guys to Blade Runner, so.
Yeah.
I think both of us are kind of, this is going to be hurtful, and it may end your guest your status on the podcast immediately, but both of us are very mad the original Blade Runner.
I've never been able to sit through the full Blade Runner movie without falling asleep.
Never been able, okay, hold on. That's, falling asleep is fine. That movie.
It's soporific on purpose.
There are people, there's a community of like ASMR people that use Blade Runner inspired soundtracks to fall asleep.
I can see that. I can definitely, cause the soundtrack actually for Blade Runner is
like
really
very
interesting. Yeah.
Sort of dreamy, and like there's a lot of rain noises.
Yeah.
You can like go Google ASMR Blade Runner right now. You can find like
please do not Google Japanese ASMR Blade Runner.
Oh, please do.
No, go for it. I'm on board.
It's like rain noises combined with like faint Japanese like ads in the background. It is very bizarre and a lot of fun. But you're right. You were cut from the network for that. So
we've got.
I feel like, and here's the problem: Blade Runner, the original one. There's certain performances that I can definitely appreciate, and. I'm just like John. It puts me to bed. I can never tell which cut I'm supposed to watch. And here's my current concern about the new one. I don't think the solution to any problem in the world is let's add Jared Leto.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but like Ryan Gosling's in it and there's more Harrison Ford.
I'm fine with those things, but. Unless the question is, what can I fit in this garbage can? The answer is never Jared Leto.
Yeah. Yeah. I buy that. It's just supposed to be very good. It's supposed to be a good movie.
That is what I have heard.
I am sure I will see it, but I did not see it today.
No. Now, you've had, Jeff, zero experience with My Little Pony before.
Here's my experience with My Little Pony. I've watched a lot of Gen 1 My Little Pony because I grew up on a street with all girls my age.
You grew up on the mean streets.
I grew up in the mean streets of Torrance, California with seven little girls that were the same age as me. I moved out when I was 12, right before it was about to get good. So I know a lot about Gen 1. In fact, I remember seeing this exact movie as a Gen 1 movie where they had to go find the Flutter Ponies.
Ah, the Flutter Ponies.
Yeah. And also I have a friend who's a toy collector, and so I've seen a tremendous amount of art and actual toys directly related to the Gen 2 My Little Pony. So I know a lot about them, but like I said, I've never seen them moving around before.
Okay, and I watched probably 5 or 6 episodes of Season 1. I knew the names of all the main characters, sort of their traits, what was the deal with most of them, but I never really delved deep into the series.
So I have watched 5 seasons of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. I have watched one of the Equestria Girls movies.
I have watched the Equestria Girls movie, the first one.
It's, I mean, that whole universe is buck wild. Movie two is kind of a sleeper, but like when you get into the sports competition, it movie three is even more crazy. contemplating the ramifications of the Equestria Girls verse, Twilight Sparkle falls in love with a human. Which is like a very weird thing.
Yes. Can I ask a quick question about that? I'm familiar with the Equestria Girls verse because again, I'm good friends with a toy collector. Mm-hmm. Do they still say every pony?
No. Well, that's the thing that Twilight has to learn when she's going undercover in that universe is to not say every pony because say everybody.
They're going undercover? Those aren't just set
Twilight, it's the same universe, Twilight's like a separate dimension.
Twilight's the only one that is from the pony universe. All the other ones that are the analogs are just human versions of them. There is a actual regular in that universe version of Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah.
Oh, my mind is blown.
Eventually, they meet, and it is bananas.
Are there sparks? Do sparks fly?
I think it like threatens the universe.
Do Twilight sparks fly?
This is very good. I'm glad that we're prepared for this. So, not only do I know quite a bit about the My Little Pony universe, but I actually like it quite a bit.
Yeah,
pretty wild.
I didn't have a problem when I was watching it. I mean, after I watched like five episodes, my friend who really wanted me to watch was like, "Oh my god, are you a brony now?" And I'm like, "No, it's just a cartoon," and I didn't care enough about it to continue watching it, but I didn't dislike it.
One of the things that we routinely get on the show, I'm sorry, on System Mastery, not on Movie Mastery.
On the show.
Yeah, that's the one we call the show.
On
the popular show. On the Moneymaker. On System Mastery is people asking us to do Pony Finder or
Fallout Equestria.
Fallout Equestria, Tales from Equestria. The various people would like to play as these ponies in role-playing games, and we routinely say no. And generally speaking, the reason is most of them are fan games.
Yeah.
And then of the ones that aren't, we still feel like we've probably squeezed all the blood out of that, or people before us have already squeezed all the blood out of that making fun of Brony Stone.
Yeah. I mean, I can't see like being internet bullies to bronies and furries, like being a real,
not a thing
to walk down.
And yeah. We have notably been fans of the furry community in the past. Like when we did Furry Pirates, we were sad because the book wasn't furry enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we've come out on record as being pro Juggalo, pro furry. And I'm going to go ahead and say it for the most part. I'm pro everything except Homestuck fans. which I think at this point, there's probably few enough that it's okay. You don't need anyone to be pro. They're already an endangered species.
Well, that video game just dropped.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
ooh.
So my experience with this show is I don't think it's a dumb show. I don't really particularly care about brony culture all that much. I think the show's for kids, and I think it's a really good show for kids.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, like, I am a person who loves the shit out of some cartoons.
Yeah.
That's primarily what I watch is cartoons.
Yeah.
My Little Pony is, like, fine. It is one that if your kid is into it and they are watching it, it's not one that you are going to resent.
Yeah,
it's not Kailu.
Kailu can, oh man.
Yeah, dude.
If your kid's into Kailu or like Arthur or something like that, then you've got, if you just turn them off and give them Magic School Bus.
Yeah, there are better cartoons. Right now, cartoons are better than TV, so you should be watching cartoons.
Yeah, or if you really want to mess with your kid, have them watch those old super fascist dystopia Thomas the Tank Engine episodes.
Oh my god. That Thomas the Tank Engine stuff is straight insanity. It's just propaganda about how you should be willing to obey all commands, and if you can't, you're going
to
get walled in like it's a cask of Amontillado.
To live horribly forever, yeah.
Yeah. I just, every time I watch that scene, because there's that scene where, you probably have no idea what we're talking about right now, but there's a scene where some train on the Thomas the Tank Engine Island is walled up forever for disobedience.
Yep.
Yeah, but doesn't want to follow directions, so they straight brick him into a place.
But he's a train! It is just bricks!
Yeah.
When he wants to leave, he'll just go forward slowly.
Not without an engine.
He is the engine! That's literally what he is!
Yeah, man, but he can't build up enough speed. He's just going to be sitting there donking his face into it.
You have no idea how much torque a train engine generates. Don't act like you do.
That is true. I love that we have now started applying real-world physics to Thomas the Tank Engine fascist problems.
Look, it's going to hurt his weird train face a bit, but he'll get through those bricks.
Now, just let me tell you, the physics of jam on a train is completely wrong in Thomas.
Anyway, you know what today started with? It started with a little short, which sadly, James didn't catch the short.
I missed the short, and I feel bad about
it. But there was a short film associated with today's movie, and it was...
Hanazuki.
Hanazuki. I think it should be the last thing we talk about before we break for spoilers.
Yeah.
So Hanazuki, which I don't care if I spoil because there was no plot to it.
Yeah, this isn't the movie, but whatever.
Hanazuki is apparently the story of a little girl who lives alone on a moon. Well, not alone exactly. She has seven friends that are little bunny, disembodied bunny heads of rainbow colors, and each one represents emotion, and when she bonds with her bunny head friends, her hair and color, the white parts of her hair and color set, turn to that color.
Yeah, she basically has mood ring hair.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbit friends that are Pixar's Inside Out as rabbit heads.
Yes, but they're, yeah, just disembodied rabbit heads.
And, she lives on the moon and a sleeping baby that is the size of her
gives her presents.
Shows up and gives her a diamond.
Jesus.
Yeah.
It is, honestly, if this wasn't, the cartoon animation style wasn't as modern and goofy as it was, I would assume this was some weird French avant-garde shit.
I figured it was like a Donnie Darko sequel.
Like
just, literally, like, just, oh, now there's just lots of bunny heads on the moon.
Yeah, it is straight crazy. And, the yellow rabbit head, which represents happiness, steals,
maybe?
Steals the diamond and runs to the dark side of the moon where it's spooky.
Yeah, it runs to the wrong side of the moon, mm-hmm. encounters accidentally a sort of Cthulhu dog.
Yeah.
You're the Cthulhu now, dog. So, but that's literally what happens. They end up in the accidentally in the open mouth of a Cthulhu dog. Then they fall into lava and nearly die in the lava. But at no point do you feel like any of this is at all threatening.
No. And then, you know, the little rabbit is sad because he thinks maybe that Hana is angry at him. But then her hair turns yellow and... Oh boy,
wouldn't
she's,
you know it,
she's happy that he's okay.
And yeah.
The Cthulhu dog is friendly after all, and everyone goes on a rainbow slide on the moon.
And then they bricked him in forever.
Your disobedience.
Why aren't you running on these tracks I made for you, giant Cthulhu dog? And then a baby shows up and gives her another diamond, and that's the end of it.
I don't understand what Sleep Baby's purpose is in this universe. I don't know if he shows up as a projection of a baby's dream onto the moon, or if he himself is just asleep and gains the power to teleport to the moon through sleep.
Perhaps he represents temptation.
And as curious as the whole thing is, I'm not sure if I really would want my own kids to be associating with a show where the basic message seems to be expect treasure from people. Just random people are going to come by. They have to give you treasure when they see you.
Yeah, that's not a great lesson.
If you see a baby with something, it's actually yours, and you should take it.
Take stuff from that baby, especially diamonds. I don't know. Anyway,
that was
Hanazuki.
That was Hanazuki. You know what? We're going to play a little music for you right now, and we'll be right back with a full, spoiled-up review of My Little Pony, the movie. And we are back. It's time to dive deep. Get into the meat, if you will, of My Little Pony, the movie.
Well, I'm the only one who saw this part, so I'll go ahead and run you through it, because we had just traffic caused some issues, so we missed, so some people missed like the first 2 minutes of this movie. So here's what you missed.
I'm gonna say, I was there for the very beginning, and the very beginning is amazing.
They do another good credit sequence?
Well, it's opening music, and the opening music is We've Got the Beat,
Pony lyrics.
Yeah!
Yeah. So all the ponies dancing in the streets, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's great.
So good.
They actually also managed to work in Equestria into the lyrics.
There's one thing I heard right before I left the theater, and that was that one of the places that exists here is Saddle Arabia.
Yes, Saddle Arabia.
Oh, and that tickled me to no end.
I thought that was a pony. I thought there was a pony named Saddle Arabia.
No, at a point in, I think, season 3 of the show, there are Saddle Arabian diplomats that visit Equestria, which to me makes me believe that Celestia has a deal with Saddle Arabia to get some of their resources.
Oh, obviously.
But they have to, you know, put on a show for the Saddle Arabian diplomats who are drawn as Arabian horses, which is very funny in My Little Pony style.
So, okay, I'm trying to figure out the autonomy of Celestia. Celestia is the land of ponies.
Equestria is the land of ponies.
Okay, Equestria is the land of ponies. Mm. Is Saddle Arabia a different land of ponies, or are they not ponies?
So they would not. Saddle Arabia is of Arabian ponies.
Okay,
they're like a slightly different breed of pony, and most sort of beasts of burden and mm-hmm. farm animals are sentient or sapient, but not all of them have autonomous cultures.
Okay,
for instance, cattle, even though they're capable of intelligent thought, are herded and farmed by ponies. I don't think for meat, but that's never been confirmed.
That's real disturbing
it's
to me.
Definitely for milk, at least.
Like,
because there's a lot of confection.
Even if you're not murdering them, you're still milking a sapient being?
Yeah.
And that's real uncomfortable.
And they're prone to, like, stampede. Like, they are fully intelligent creatures that can stampede if they spook.
Okay. So in the background, a lot of the time, this movie, of course, packed in background shots of just about every character you've ever heard of. I've only heard of one, so I watched for her, and of course I saw Derby several times.
I mean, she saved Twilight Sparkle.
Yeah. Yeah, she was actually an important character in the film, although
plot relevant.
No lines, just plot relevant.
You know who I was sad that I didn't see? Dr. Hooves.
Dr. Hooves didn't show up in this one.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, so I'm going to assume that's a Dr. Who parody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And boy, howdy, if you like these background ponies, in season 5, they dedicate an entire episode to them, and it is delightful. Dr. Hooves is a main character with a speaking role who is essentially Dr. Who in that episode.
Who did they
and
drag in to do it?
I don't know if they actually got David Tennant or somebody who just did a good impression.
It can't be that hard to get David Tennant. He's Scrooge right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, if I could get David Tennant.
Yeah.
Man, if David I could Tennant be Scrooge, I'd take it.
Yeah. I feel like it's a good time to point out some of, like, the political economy of Equestria here.
Yeah,
just
a lot of
just
questions.
So you guys can understand. So there is an immortal godhead royalty that rules over Equestria.
Is that the three princesses?
That is actually the two godhead princesses that have existed that we can tell for thousands of years are Princess Celestia, mm-hmm. who has control over the sun,
mm-hmm.
and Princess Luna, who has control over the moon.
Yeah. Now that's some season 1 shit. I figured that out.
Yeah. That's season 1 stuff. In season 3, they reveal, Princess Cadence, mm-hmm. who rules over the Crystal Kingdom.
Yeah. I was gonna say she seemed to have gem powers.
Yes. So she has, control of the Crystal Heart, which is a race of crystal ponies live like in northern Equestria where they can sleep in immortal topor if the heart is not placed in the core of the city. Otherwise, they look like shinier ponies and they have the ability to grant sparkle powers too.
It's interesting. I'm on board with sparkle powers. Here's the thing that always gets me about this, and this got me in Generation 1 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they introduce a new subculture of ponies, they are universally cooler than the originals.
I mean, it's absolutely true. And like, if you look at this universe from an objective stance, Earth ponies, which are the ponies that are not Pegasuses or unicorns, mm-hmm. are just screwed over.
They don't get any, they're not stronger.
They do have a special power. Their special power is they are more durable. And that's coming straight from the My Little Pony role-playing game. But
oh, good.
They also, and you guys, as System Master, you're going to love this, they are farmers. They are the only ponies that can make things grow from the ground. So the shit farmers.
So is Applejack then an earth pony?
She's an earth pony.
She doesn't have a horn or wings.
Okay, so a pony without horns or wings is an earth pony.
Is an earth pony.
Okay, I figured the earth ponies were the ones that didn't get to be pastel. They were just those sort of horses you see in the background.
Oh, no. Yeah. So okay. Anyone who does not have the power to fly or the gift of magic is an earth pony.
Now, there's a zebra that I saw several times in the background.
Zebras, that would be Zecora the zebra.
Mm-hmm.
Zecora comes from a separate race of creatures that are zebras that are similar to ponies, but not ponies.
Similar yet distinct.
Legally distinct.
Legally distinct from ponies. The other thing that I need to point out, I think is very important to understand about the My Little Pony universe, is Twilight Sparkle did not start off as a princess. She transformed into a princess, and it's not clear whether or not she is immortal and will have to watch her friends die in like 20 years.
See, now that was the question I had when I first saw the Equestria Girls thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it starts out and they're like, oh, you're a princess, and she had wings all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
So Celestia had pegged Twilight Sparkle
from the start.
As a child, she's like, I will raise this into being another immortal god being like myself, because Celestia is, you know, a perfect ruler, but everything around her is brittle and breaks, and she watches all things crumble to dust, so she creates new gods.
Yeah, like you do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's one thing that's important. The other thing that you need to know about a My Little Pony to truly understand this universe is each one of them has a cutie mark.
Yes. I saw the cutie marks, and I'm familiar with them. Remember,
okay, you're familiar.
I watched Gen 1.
So literally everybody knows what they're good at.
Mm-hmm.
So already,
like right from birth,
their existence, if we had to choose between our world existing and their world is objectively better for ours, as we are aimless beings
mm-hmm.
that wander the earth in search of meaning, and they have it stamped onto their ass.
So I think, isn't there any interpretation? Are there episodes where people determine that they got their cutie mark wrong?
No.
Like, for example, Applejack. Applejack has apples on her butt.
Yes.
Or flank, excuse me. And therefore should probably be, according to the show, a farmer of apples.
Mm-hmm.
And is.
But couldn't that also be interpreted that she should be an archer or a juggler or something like that?
It is possible to misinterpret your cutie mark.
Yeah.
But typically does not happen.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, like Rarity could have been a jeweler.
She says diamonds. How did she? I don't even know what she actually is.
She's a fashion designer, basically.
Okay.
She's a fashion designer, and she likes to work with gems, and she has the ability to locate gems.
Oh, okay. Does that mean that all of the ponies that we encounter in the film, because I'm learning their names as we go along, mm-hmm. and does that mean they all have jobs? Like they all do a role in
the
film?
They all do have jobs.
Okay.
And
so the one I want to talk about.
That's why it's a perfect society. Yeah. I don't even have that. And I got a cutie mark.
The one I really want to talk about in terms of having a job, and this is something that actually relates to the movie, because when the movie starts, basically Twilight Sparkle is tasked with planning a big party, which I assume just means that the current party is about to end, so it's time to start the next one.
Yes.
Yeah. So she's all worried because it's going to have to be a really big party. So she goes outside and all of her friends start singing to her about friendship. Rainbow Dash appears to have the job of destroying clouds.
Okay. Indeed. So she is a weather pony.
Okay.
All Pegasuses, as John also knows, have the ability to control the weather.
Okay.
So destroying clouds is how they ensure that it is going to be a clear day. They just sort of kick them and they disperse, but they can also bring in rainstorms, and they are a major part of the changing of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
All weather in the My Little Pony universe is manually done.
So now here's the question that immediately calls to mind for me. When they go off on a voyage in this book, or in this movie, excuse me, they come to some sort of Mos Eisley style city full of lizards and sharks.
Yeah.
Who's doing the weather there?
I mean,
natural.
Yeah.
It's in a desert, which is why you gotta wonder.
I kind of think,
they're taking the rain clouds when they make it rain. They're taking it from them.
Cause we got to see where the griffins live in season 5, and the griffins also sort of live on this like barren, rocky cliff. So I am assuming that if you don't have ponies doing your weather, you are destitute and desperate for any sort of sustenance.
Unless you happen to have weather at the moment. Cause I get the impression that it's, some ponies did set the weather up everywhere, and then there's this one spot, little tiny spot in the world, where weather changes, and everywhere else is just whatever it was when they left.
So, in the Everfree Forest, weather runs itself. But that is the only place confirmed in the universe that, like, operates in a way that, like, we would understand with weather. I think the rest of the world is just without resources.
I feel like we could rapidly hit a point where we could discuss the functionality of this universe forever without actually talking about what happens.
I am so deep into this.
You have no idea.
You just say the word and you let me do it.
Well, because the other question I have is whenever they, there's, okay, I'm going to just run through a quick list of questions.
Okay. Yes, please do.
Because because I'm new to this universe. So, okay, next question. As ponies, and I think I asked this one during the film, are they shod?
That's a really difficult question. Because
the problem is they make shod horse noises.
They make noises like as if they have horseshoes, but the actual hooves themselves are the exact same color, and there's no break in the lines.
Yeah.
So,
and there's honestly, no break between their fur and the rest of their
I was going to say, it doesn't even look like there's hooves there particularly.
So,
but they make clunk noises.
You, pedicures are frequently referenced in the My Little Pony universe. So I have explained it to myself in that a lot of ponies opt to paint their hooves, and shodding could be a part of that because there are a lot of ponies that have horseshoes as their cutie marks, and I can only assume that means they're making horseshoes.
Yeah, they have to at least know what they are.
So I think you just buy a horseshoe in your color.
Now, the question is that part of the pony body mod community?
Oh, interesting. So horses that are, or ponies that are shod are like getting piercings and tattoos.
Yeah. So, you know, someone looks at you and goes, man, that is some amazing, shod work you've got going on there, but you are never going to find a job.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wear a long leg skirt in order to get a job somewhere.
You're terrible in interviews because you have horseshoes on. But the only reason I'm asking the question, because, you know, it's not just me trying to figure out whether or not the ponies have hooves. It's because whenever there's scenes of them just walking and no one else is talking, they make standard pony cobblestone noise. That thing.
I think it is safe to assume that horseshoes are made and used, but also it has never been confirmed in any My Little Pony material.
Okay. So I think those were my core questions. More will come up as we move our way through, I'm sure.
Great.
Now we're getting this big party, but the party after the big number of, hey, let's all be friends, is crashed by our main villain for the movie, which is
our main villain's henchman for the movie.
Well, she's basically the main villain up until the last five minutes.
Only one who gets a villain song.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Fair enough.
But it is a pony that has lost her horn.
Yeah, broken horn pony.
And her name is Tempest, or at least that is what she is going by now.
Yes, yeah. So Tempest the pony, which I'll be honest, at that point I had failed to notice that Rarity also was a unicorn.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Tempest showed up and she had the broken horn and there was like lightning coming out of it and stuff, I was like, oh, a fallen god of their society. That's neat. That's the bad guy in this. It's gonna, cause I figured unicorns were basically like their god kings.
No, the god kings are the alicorns, which have Pegasus wings and unicorn horns.
Okay. And cool magic hair.
Yeah. But there are fallen gods that they have defeated and destroyed in past seasons. I see. Okay. You're not that far off the mark.
All right. So
like John Delaney.
Yeah, John Delaney was an imprisoned trickster god, and we'll talk about him.
Wait, isn't it John Delancey?
John Delancey. Delancey. Yeah. Whatever. Q.
Okay.
Q showed up and played Q on the show.
I was just, for a second, I was picturing John Mulaney as a pony.
And he played Cat Stevens too much, and they
wouldn't stop talking about CSI.
They definitely defeat and destroy gods, and she's like an injured, like, villain. She's scarred up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which doesn't appear to do much. Her horn is still magic.
Well, the thing is, the horn normally gives you basically telekinesis standard, and then
you can
learn other magic to use with it, but pretty much just telekinesis as your standard thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her horn being broken means instead of telekinesis, she essentially has electrokinesis.
She basically has, but the thing is, she can still lift stuff. There are scenes where she holds things up with it.
I think, like, the implication of her backstory when she sings the song is at first it wasn't working properly, and eventually she learned to deal with it, and it's not perfect.
But,
like, you know, this is a disabled character in this universe, which is, like, a really fascinating thing to watch, because you're in a universe with magic, you can just fix everything.
Yeah.
So, like, clearly broken unicorn horns are things they cannot fix that.
Yeah. And this is Emily Blunt doing the voice. The other thing I found pretty fascinating about her character design is she's wearing a full bodysuit.
Yeah,
which means
full armor.
Which means we never see her cutie mark.
Well, the thing interesting about that is she's working for the Storm King.
From Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, yeah.
And the Storm King's logo is on the armor she's wearing where the cutie mark would be.
Yes. Yes.
So she basically has decided that her cutie mark, what she's good at, is being this lieutenant.
Serving the Storm, or the Storm King decided that. He doesn't appear to have decided much about ponies, so I'm going to assume she came up with that.
Yeah.
But pretty grim and great, like, background work.
Yeah. But I was surprised because, you know, of course, she's a pony in a pony movie. She's going to have a face turn. But I was amazed that they never had her pop the armor loose so you could see that her original cutie mark was like, I make fireworks or whatever.
Yeah. It's weird that
I really thought that was going to happen at the very end.
I was assuming that that would happen too.
I kind of figured, and this is sort of a dark turn that the movie could have taken, would be that her cutie mark is a broken horn. So that she knew, like her parents knew.
Oh, God.
The day she was born, they were like, oh, something's going
to
happen.
So you're meant to be broken. Well, no, you don't get your cutie mark when you're born. You get it around like,
it's like puberty.
12. Yeah, it's puberty.
Okay. And she lost
the horn
before puberty.
You have a cute señora, actually.
We get to see her.
is a celebration name for it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. They have her backstory in a little cartoonier cartoon segment in this. She lives in an all unicorn village.
Which, yeah. There were no other types of ponies.
Yeah. And she gets attacked by a star bear, which is a
that
thing.
Would be Ursa Major.
Yeah. Okay.
There are cosmic bears that can get to be up to 3 stories tall.
Okay.
For like the young ones, the large ones are enormous. But yes, Ursa Majors are bears made of stars.
Okay, so that was just a little thing for the fans.
That was a little nod.
Yeah. Okay. That was a villain even from season one.
So basically, she shows up in a big old airship that has black clouds surrounding it. And before she shows up, our tertiary villain pops in, a little hedgehog man.
Yeah, he was like supposed to be the fun sidekick.
He was Michael Pena, so they were definitely going for a fun sidekick vibe. I didn't think it was Michael Pena, I'm going to be honest. I thought it was Josh Gad.
I gotta be honest, I didn't think it was gonna be Michael Pena because he wasn't funny and he was bad.
Yeah. He had no good lines.
No good lines.
Zero. His whole shtick was explaining the joke.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if that was done really well, then maybe, but oh man, it was not. It was done very poorly.
I will say overall, I am very surprised by the lack of charm some of the side characters in this movie had, because like, My Little Pony has a lot of charming side characters that come in.
That's sort of the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think there's maybe 4 major side characters that we still have yet to discuss that are new characters for the movie. I am guessing each one of them.
Yeah. We'll get there.
So basically, Tempest shows up and Tempest displays an amazing ability, which is apparently she has balls that she can throw at people that crystallize them.
Completely. Okay. This is something that I really need to talk about. It's a thing that annoys me about the My Little Pony universe. To start with, it's that Celestia is an immortal god queen.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
She deals with enemies by banishing them to the moon for 1,000 years, by imprisoning trickster gods in stone, by permanently trapping a slaver, like in the north, like in the deepest, darkest tundra.
Mm-hmm.
She deals with people with like very cruel punishments.
Well, she deals with people like a god deals with people in mythology.
Yeah, but the thing that I really want to point out about all of Celestia's enemies and the way that she's punished them, they were all like thinking and aware during their punishment. So like when Discord was imprisoned in stone for 1,000 years, he was thinking the whole time. So like
this is a Demolition Man situation.
Yeah, she is like an immensely brutal like ruler and really takes no guff from enemies. But because Twilight Sparkle is like the leader and like the protagonist of the show, every time something happens, Celestia immediately goes out like a punk. And this is exactly what happened here.
So she's the Worf of the franchise.
Yeah. Celestia should have like blasted this like peasant, this ant before her, this thing that has like walked the earth in an eye blink in Celestia's years, imprisoned her in stone, which is bananas. And I hate, I cannot stand it.
She has these magic soccer ball things and she just sort of does cool Pele sidekicks on them and hits the 3 really, really, really powerful princesses with them and causes them to be encased in black stone.
Yes. So they are imprisoned in stone for the whole thing. And like Celestia was trying to get a plan to Princess Luna so that she could do the adventure that our protagonist.
And she was taking her sweet time because she was like, Princess Luna, I need you to fly. You need to fly far to the north where you will encounter this mountain. In the mountain, you will find the queen of the hippos.
Yep.
And then she gets turned to stone. When really, this is the sort of thing that they should have had a conversation about a long time ago.
Hey, if something bad ever hey, Twilight, now that you're a princess, if something ever goes wrong with this known enemy.
Yeah. Also, I mean, just to go back to what you were saying, the first one hit with the ball was Cadence.
Yeah.
And so it's not like they hit Celestia first. She didn't realize what was going on.
Yeah.
She saw the green ball hit and encase Cadence and wasn't like, oh, shit just got real. I'm about to go bad boys on you.
Yeah, like, well, when Queen Chrysalis attacked, like, she blasted Chrysalis with the power of the sun, and, like, it didn't work because Chrysalis had, like, planned a special thing for it. In this, she's just like, oh, no, I guess we're losing.
I guess I get to get hit now.
I assume Cadence has a special voice actor, because she didn't get a line in this. She kind of walks in from the side at the beginning and then gets hit and turned to stone. Before she gets to say anything.
Yeah, I can't remember who Cadence's voice actor.
But it felt like they put her in here just because they had to. Like,
yeah, I mean, they absolutely did.
Like, the show Bible was like, Cadence is really important. We gotta put her in there. And they're like, we don't want to. You have to put her in.
She's gotta be at least in the background.
Put her in the background. She gets turned to stone right away. Don't worry about it. By the way, before this attack happens, we get, the whole beginning song is, oh, you can totally do it, Twilight Sparkle, because you've got friends. Incidentally, every song in this entire movie, except for the villain song, is, you can do it because you have friends.
Yeah.
But there's a scene where Sia shows up as a pony.
Yep. Sia is a pony with that, like, face covering black and white hair thing that she does.
Yeah. And she's not an especially talented voice actor. So her one bit that she gets is a little stilted.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It was a weird thing.
Anyway, just wanted to let you know that Sia is a character in the film. So Twilight Sparkle decides to adopt the job once Luna gets turned to crystal stones or whatever. She decides to adopt the role of, okay, it's me who has to go talk to the queen of the hippos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they escape. And of course, the people who escape are the core group.
Yeah.
And no one else.
Nobody else gets to get out. And I'm going to say this. The end of the movie is them basically fighting back against these occupiers. They managed to beat the ever-loving Christ out of these forces, which are basically giant weird gorillas, essentially.
Yeah, there's big gorillas with masks on.
And at the end of the movie, it's essentially the exact same group with five more people, and they just clown on these fools.
Well, yeah. I really want to...
And yet the entire, like, all of Equestria is at this party, and they're just like, oh no, we give up.
Yeah, they immediately gave up. The thing I really wanted to talk about, those giant ape monkeys, they never do anything at all.
No.
At no point. Like, I know it's a kid's movie. I know it's meant for girls ages like 8 to 15 or whatever, and then also bronies.
15 is a little bit
too. I know. 8 to whatever and bronies. But these ape things never, I would figure at least at one point they would grab someone, you know, like, and hold them and be like,
yeah,
here you go, your majesty, I caught this person. But they have like razor claws. They never, once in the entire film, ever even swing their arm at an object. They're just present.
Yeah. They will chase after things. They will menacingly point a weapon at people, but there is no point where it looks like they straight up attack anyone.
No, the one scene where Twilight Sparkle and all of her friends go falling off a cliff and into a waterfall is because they run into two of them that are just standing there. They come across two of these ape things, and the ape things are just like, and they just sort of go, oh no, ape things, and they fall off a bridge. And I was like, so that's the most menacing these villains are going to get.
Yeah, fights in My Little Pony are always pretty much universally bad. Season 5 had some pretty good magic duels, but like, mostly it's not good fighting.
Yeah. Well, anyway, they all fall off the cliff. The little hedgehog Michael Peña character decides not to pursue them. And then they decide that their role now is to go forth and alert the queen of the hippos that they need help.
Yep.
And so we get that hungry, hungry hippos joke that was...
it's the only thing I know about hippos. They're hungry. Hungry hippos.
So that happens. And then they proceed. They start walking across a desert where we get some way overlong... what's the yellow one?
Fluttershy.
We get some way overlong Fluttershy shtick.
No, that's Pinkie Pie.
Is Pinkie Pie doing that?
Pinkie Pie is the pink one.
Oh, okay. Well, then she's the one who shticks a little too hard.
No,
here.
Pinkie Pie's thing is that she shticks too hard.
Yeah.
And that's, I know that there's even episodes dedicated to, let's really try and explain that, yes, Pinkie Pie does something aside from be terrible, but honestly, every episode is, something's going fine, Pinkie Pie screws it
up. Ruins it, yeah.
And that is her role in life, is to take what is good and destroy it.
Pinkie Pie is the Deadpool of the My Little Pony universe. And in my assessment of it, is she is the person who is supposed to be funny and is so annoying that I just cannot stand.
She is the hyper monkey cheese nonsense character that is there to appeal to the child who is also a hyper monkey cheese child. You know, like Jeff would be.
Let me see. Who was my favorite character in stuff that I watched when I was a kid? Was it that hyper wacky character? Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, like Daffy Duck, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, they decide to go find the Queen of the Hippos. They go to the desert. Pinkie Pie kind of just yells about the desert for a long time. Rarity manages to get her complaining about it out in about two lines, which I was impressed by. Like, Rarity was just like, I'm in the desert. It's hot. This will ruin my perfect hair. Pinkie Pie, over to you. I have 15 minutes of material.
I've got a solid 15 to do, and until you flash me that light, I'm not getting off.
I've got a chunk. I'm working till Seinfeld's ready to come up. And then she notices that they're actually on a road, so they follow a road.
Yep. That takes them to that Mos Eisley area.
Yeah, it takes them to straight up a wretched hive of scum and lizards.
Yeah.
And so they encounter a whole bunch of lizard people.
Where slavery is the primary currency, it looks like.
Yeah, well, no, it was birds. And I don't know if those birds are sentient or not.
Everything is sapient.
Well, they didn't seem to talk at all. They seem to be smaller, like standard-sized birds. Because we will meet actual walk-around sapient birds.
Yeah.
But these were just like normal birds.
Well, that's a thing, right? I mean, that's like if someone were to be putting a bunch of monkeys in cages. I mean, I know we're not directly descended from monkeys. We're direct descended from a common ancestor. But you get the idea. If there were some primates in some cages, if there were a bunch of sugar gliders, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I can see that. They're locking up primates.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't really have a problem with the birds. I mean, unless it was the birds locking up the birds, then I would feel a little weird. But anyway, the big thing is you also see at this point that they're basically just like, I will take anything I can get.
Yeah.
Like, people are selling horns of things.
Yeah, one of them asks Twilight Sparkle if she's selling her horn.
Or, yeah, they like expect someone wants parts the hair of your off body of Rarity as payment. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've read a couple of fics where she is selling her horn.
I'm sure.
Hey now. Yeah. Hey now.
Whoa.
Okay, now I gotta say this. There's that hole where the horn where Tempest, her horn broke.
Yeah.
And instead of it being like a solid just break, it's hollow and sparking. And I could not help but imagine that there is definitely fic of someone's unicorn horn going into that hole.
Oh.
Ooh,
that's happening. I don't know if it already happened, but someone out there has heard me say it.
Well, here's the thing.
Spoke it.
It definitely
now
exists.
It is true.
It's definitely called horn docking.
I'm sorry. I think it may be horn swoggling.
Oh, God. Nope. I'm afraid no one else knows about old wrestlers like you do. But okay. So basically, Twilight Sparkles does her thing where she's like, hey, we need to figure out how to find the Queen of the Hippos from the people of this village. And then Pinkie Pie does her thing, which is to start yelling about it in the middle of the town square.
Yep.
And then we get our introduction to a brand new character for this movie, because it's Taye Diggs.
Taye Diggs the cat.
Yeah, new kind of creature in the My Little Pony universe, which just calls into question all sorts of things. There are cat people now.
And not only are there cat people, there are bipedal clothes-wearing cat people, which is important because the ponies are not bipedal, and any clothes they wear are purely ornamental.
Now, was he a reference to something?
He's like a Puss in Boots figure, right?
I mean, he ends the movie in a top hat, and I looked at that, and I was like, that looks so familiar. Oh, what is that?
What's that Miyazaki movie with the...
I don't think he's the Baron.
Okay, that's... Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Because, I was thinking, is this the reference they're making? But yeah, he's like a weird pirate-looking cat person.
Well, he's Puss in Boots. He's got the cape. He looks like a mountebank.
He's a swindler.
Yeah. He's, I think he also might be a little Lando Calrissian.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's a little more Han. He's gonna sell out his friends.
But that's Lando.
Well, Lando.
Lando sells out his friends and wears a big cool cape.
Now, if only they had gotten into the room and Tempest was there and then Twilight Sparkle tried to shoot lasers
at
her.
That did happen.
Why doesn't that happen? Twilight Sparkle shoots lasers at her problems left and right.
Yeah,
right?
But that scene does happen, except that instead of it being the big bad guy, it's
that naked mole rat of a circus guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we get our next song at this point, and this song is
the Catman's song about, hey man, you can trust me. We're good friends. friends. I'm going to show you how to get around town.
Can we talk about how this dude's singing this in what is very clearly an Arabia-inspired desert environment, and his song is straight up, "You have never had a friend like me"?
Yeah.
Because that's the song he sings. He's like, "I'm the specific friend you need at this time. You don't have any friends exactly like I am." And I was like, "Guy, work harder. Work way harder." So he's saying, but he is definitely going to betray them. He just sings a song about how great of a friend he is, leads them into his house, and then a naked mole rat shows up to cart off all the girls to the desert. Oh, yeah. And Spike, I guess.
Yeah, because he's got a circus, and this is going to fulfill the debts that our cat, that I can't remember the name of, owes.
Capper.
Cathar?
It's Capper.
Cathar.
It's Cathar. Yeah, it's catheter.
It's catheter. You know, when I cath, I don't like pain.
It's Capper. His name is Capper.
Okay. But sure, why not?
Yeah. But the,
cat purse.
He's Kappa.
Here's the problem I have with this scene. The naked mole rat shows up alone with a big circus wagon, and then it's him and Capper are there. And
how is this going
to
happen?
What's their step two? Like, okay, herd a whole bunch of sapient creatures with magic powers into your house. Great. Now I guess, ask them politely to be slaves in a circus.
Please get in my cage.
It was weird how earlier in the, like, Mos Eisley, when they walk into Mos Eisley, someone tells Twilight not to use magic.
Yeah, don't you use magic on my goods.
That never comes up again.
Yeah, I think he was just being a big grump, but yeah, she just randomly helps some giant turtle monster, lift a bunch of, barrels into his wagon, and then his response is just, "Don't you magic up my merchandise."
Yeah.
And then he chases her off, but yeah, it's like, maybe people who are not directly connected to unicorns all the time hate magic and feel like it's unfair.
Yeah, I would.
Well, I mean, the Storm King apparently has a ton of magic at his disposal, because he's got anti-magic like weapons and cages. He's got these soccer balls that can turn you to stone.
His character is very poorly explained.
Yes. Well, yes. He's not well explored at all.
Yeah.
He's basically like President Business as a yet more evil guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it does, and apparently he's already subjugated all of the world except for Equestria in this storyline.
Well, you know, it'd be really hard to subjugate the land where a god queen rules.
Theoretically!
You think.
But aren't
you
there, like, think. Okay, tell me this, and I'm just gonna guess here. Does Zycoria, where the zebra people, do they have an equivalent Celestia type person?
I don't think so.
So Celestia's really-
Celestia controls the sun. Like, okay. Like, for this everybody. This pitiful planet is at her control.
How sad does that make it that she just lives in a little paradise, that she surrounds herself with people that just kind of look just like her and have them make parties all the time?
Jeff, Celestia is my favorite character for that very reason. What is going on?
That's insane.
I feel bad for everyone else, because at that point you go, I wasn't made in God's image.
Yeah.
The ponies look like God.
Well, let's talk about,
and I don't.
This is the other thing. I just remembered now, one of the other major things I wanted to talk about. In a scene in Mos Eisley, when Pinkie Pie walks out into the middle of the town square to try and get everybody's attention, she does that dumb shit that I can't stand where she says, "Any pony. Can any pony help me?" No. No, they can't, Pinkie Pie. No one you are talking to is a pony.
There's a degree of pony privilege,
yes,
that exists in this universe, that their words for things are so pony centric that they won't even change it when it is no longer appropriate.
Okay, guys, they live in the country that controls the sun.
Yeah, they live in God's
and
backyard.
Their god, who they speak to, yeah, who is a pony, controls that sun.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying. Is it's very pony privilege. It's not racist of them. It's just, this is what they know.
Well, it's racist. It's just that it's subconscious racist. It's basically, this is a story about the exalted. These are the solar exalted while the unconquered sun is still stalking the earth and keeping them in charge.
Okay.
That's what this is. Where they would walk, why would an exalted solar be like, "Ah, hello, normal human. I am interested in your wares," instead of just being like, "Bring me meat or I will smite your entire village."
And it's interesting to me, though, that throughout this whole thing, nobody's magic or powers or anything really comes into play. There are a lot of scenes of people falling where none of the three characters who have wings really are like, oh, I guess I'll do something about
this. Falling is a threat a lot in this
movie. The best one is when Fluttershy falls and uses her wings to cover her eyes.
Yes. At least that's sort of funny.
That's like, yeah, and that's so Fluttershy. She is useless.
Okay.
She is.
Oh, hey, I love Fluttershy. Weird. She's my favorite.
Yeah, that's fucking wrong. You're a wrong person.
But, so the cat dude betrays them, but here's the thing. He was playing to sell seven strangers, seven dumb rubes he just met into slavery.
By seven brothers.
By I hope there's seven. I have no idea. By betraying them. And then one of them, just sort of as an afterthought, with a random display of her flippant god magic that she can use whenever she wants to change the world. But instead, she uses it to fix the sleeve on his shirt, on his cape thing.
Yeah, he's missing a button and his sleeve is ripped. So she replaces the button and fixes the sleeve.
And this makes him so sad that he decides to sort of not betray them anymore. But I was like, okay, of course they're going to be nice to them, to you. You just seduced them. You should be expecting, you should be expecting gifts of kindness from them until such time as you can sell them because they are unsuspecting rubes.
You have ultimately just sold them a bill of goods that you do not have. You've told them, oh, I'll take you to wherever you need to go and I have all of the resources you need. And so someone being like, oh, thank you. Here, let me give you something in return. Seems like it would be normal.
It would be very normal for him. And the way they play this character is, I want to say almost a little unconsciously creepy because it's Taye Diggs, first of all. Yeah. Sexiest man ever created on the face of the earth.
Playing a sexy cat man.
Playing not just a cat man, a sexy cat man. Because if it was just a cat man, he'd be quadrupedal. Like the ponies. But he's not. He has a nice broad chest and very handsome shoulders. And decent appealing, human-y features. He is specifically designed to tell little kids, this guy can seduce the ponies, cause he's human looking.
This guy can get it.
This guy can get it, and by it, I mean these children ponies. That's the image that you get from him. He's a seductive character voiced by a seductive figure who seduces the main characters. It is so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird thing. I mean, and like Rarity shows interest in him, which, yep. What is that?
What is that?
He is a bipedal catman.
I assume that if Celestia ever caught word of that, she'd just evaporate that dude immediately, and probably Rarity as well.
This is against my law.
The bipedal part was what. Anyway,
what
they escape.
They escape.
They escape. Okay. The other thing I want to mention here is everyone is on board with Catman except Twilight Sparkle. Twilight Sparkle is like, I don't trust this cat dude because she's very racist. Now, nope.
It's not wrong.
I mean, it's true.
But he does try to sell them into slavery.
But I mean, ultimately, she is correct. But here's the thing. She is the princess of friendship. And she not one time in this entire movie attempts to solve her problems with friendship.
So the weird thing to me about this movie is we don't see the elements of harmony show up at all.
I don't even know what that is.
That is, so there are powerful artifacts related to friendship called the elements of harmony that are essentially universe reshaping powers. It's
like the infinity stones for friendship.
Yeah, it's one of the things that Celestia uses to imprison her enemies.
Wow.
So most problems in My Little Pony are solved by them breaking out the elements of harmony and they just blast it with a laser and it's done.
Oh, it's like the Pony Care Bear Stare.
It's the Care Bear Stare. Exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah. None of that shows up. Basically, they have to be, this is like Flash fighting the top or like the trickster in that they have to really depower him in order to make that a threat.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what happened here is the threat was one pony trying to capture them. And so a group of like five or six superpowered people is not a threat. So they had to be like, look, none of you remember you can fly. None of you remember you have magic. None of you remember you can do things.
It's so bizarre. Like Twilight Sparkle constantly gets clowned on by her enemies and her cutie mark is magic. She should be the best at magic. And
yet,
like this person with a broken horn came in and was just like,
done.
Kicks down the door, defeats everyone.
Yeah. I like that she immediately picked apart the society though. When she popped in and she was like, oh, are you guys in the middle of a great big party? Is it between your great big party and your other great big party?
Yeah. It was pretty good.
You are wasting your god talents.
Yeah.
You are useless, sybiric nothing, and we will rise up against you.
All this
you are
the power.
You are all the.
She even says that. She actually has that line where she walks in. She goes, "All this power wasted on parties." It was like, Yeah. After you see the rest of this, where they go to some squalor-ridden dystopia city that's...
What worlds does Celestia have left to conquer?
Yeah.
And she wept. There were no worlds left to conquer.
She just decided that all the kingdom, the kingdom is only what I can see to my immediate horizon. Clearly, she should be in charge of controlling the weather for those poor desert lizard people, and she's just not.
Nope.
Just doesn't care.
Yeah. So.
Cause they're not ponies.
They're not ponies.
They escape. Yeah. They find themselves on a airship.
They stow away on an airship that takes off.
And it's a traumatic, crazy chase sequence where a giant windmill chases them and they have to jump on a rope, and Pinkie Pie almost dies by falling to her death.
Almost kills everyone.
Oh, yeah. It's not that she almost dies. It's that she almost kills everyone because that's what Pinkie Pie does.
Oh, that's right. When they're all running on the rope, she decides to bounce on it.
Yes.
So, but thankfully, Twilight Sparkle briefly remembers that she can both fly and support the weight of another pony while doing so.
God. This will not come up again.
They get themselves on an airship. It turns out the airship is crewed by bipedal talking birds?
Yeah, like a collection of bird people.
They're mostly pirate parrots.
Pirate parrots. But at first, they're not pirates. They're all dressed in jumpsuits, and they basically
delivery man parrots.
They're delivery men who work for the Storm King, which means the Storm King's been taking over the world long enough to set up a mail system.
Yeah, it did. The strange thing about this is it does seem like Celestia and Luna and the rest of the princesses didn't know about the Storm King.
No, they couldn't.
They were confused when they saw an airship land.
The airship lands, and like the little Peña hedgehog comes out, and he's got the symbol on him. Tempest has the symbol on her, and none of them were like, "Oh shit, the Storm King." That's right. I've been meaning to vaporize that guy.
Well, yeah, I think what it is Saddle Arabia never had a problem with the Storm King, so they just sort of left him to do what he would.
I know. That means that he basically took over the Crystal Kingdom without Cadence noticing. He took over Zycoria without that one zebra getting any mail about it.
Well, I have to imagine he left, up until this point, left all of the pony and horse related territories alone because he didn't want to get into a dick kicking contest with a god.
Exactly. I feel like he sort of built up his power to do that. Maybe he went after the griffins. We don't know what's going on there because they have another like shit kicking dust kingdom.
We find out when they get the call from the Storm King that Tempest is like, "Yo, this staff that I gave you, don't worry. It's going to get power." I don't think he even realized that, Tempest went out and attacked the Pony Kingdom.
You're right. Because
he had no idea. He didn't even know what ponies were.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm pretty sure this was just a unilateral military action by a general that the ruler had no idea about, but went along with it because it panned out.
And not only that, but that also means that, yes, he definitely, because he doesn't really give a shit about ponies or know what they are, there's no way he didn't already launch into military campaigns against other allied pony factions, which means that these people are so blind to their own civilization and their own partying endless lifestyle that they have failed to notice this guy conquering the world.
This is fascinating. Man, I really wonder where he started and what else was taken. Because this is
out of nowhere.
Fucked us up with new species. Yeah. This movie is seriously like...
I'm not just conquering the world, but conquering the world long enough to set up a bureaucracy that has already become boring.
He's merchandising at this point.
That is what these parrots are shipping, is Storm King merchandise. And he talks about his branding in this.
And so, like, what? Who buys that? Who's the customer base for that?
People have to buy it. I assume that you have to tithe a certain portion of your income.
Mandatory. But isn't he already taxing people? Or is he not taxing people?
This is his version of taxing people. He thinks it's amusing to instead of taxing them, force them to buy 10%, spend 10% of their income on Storm King crap.
Or what if this is a Civilization 3 scenario and he's just expanding culturally and then he's taking over territory with his culture?
Yeah, that's,
but he still uses military action to...
See, but that's Tempest. Tempest is doing a military action that he doesn't know about, whereas normally he's only worried about his brand and merchandise.
Why? Well, you know that
he's a CEO that his private security force went and did a military action.
I'll tell you what bears out about that is the fact that the ape thing, his ape guards are not hostile in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just there for show.
They're labor. The reason they never throw a punch is because they're union.
Yeah.
Dang.
Well, the parrots are union.
Yeah, he has like some union bylaws that people follow.
Man, I think we just cracked this thing open.
This movie wide
open. So the parrots have become a delivery service, but they weren't always. It turns out after they capture the group and determine that they have to throw them overboard, it turns out that they actually used to be a rad band of pirate parrots. Yeah.
Yeah, they used to be cool, rad pirates. Not the type of pirates that are bad. The cool adventure pirates.
What yes. I love about their problem is Rainbow Dash essentially asks them, well, why the fuck aren't you cool pirates? And they go, yeah, why are we cool pirates?
Yeah, they're like, wait a minute. Oh shit, we could be cool pirates.
We could be cool pirates.
I feel like there has to be a reason why they're not. Like, at some point, some person from this kingdom showed up and was like, you guys can't be cool pirates. You have to be delivery men.
Literally, I would back you on that, but Jeff, all she did is say you should be cool pirates instead, and they're like, oh no, you're right, that's way better than this meager existence.
I'm just saying that everyone in this universe has the memory of a goldfish.
Well, yeah, I have to imagine that, like, a ship came up and not hostile, just went, hey, look, yep, we outlawed piracy, what you're doing. We realize you're not the bad pirate. No. You're the adventure pirate, but that's still outlawed. But we do have jobs for you.
Oh.
And it's got great benefits, okay. Good hours. You're going to be union.
I don't even know what that is. I'm a pirate.
Yeah.
Says the one who only
Here's
says,
here's this book, and here are your uniforms.
That one was, by the way, that was the raddest pirate.
Yeah, the pirate who can only go,
the nonverbal pirate.
Also, he had a wooden beak.
Yeah.
Instead, he had a peg beak.
And I loved these pirates. They were great.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoe Saldana was like,
Zoe Saldana
queen.
Was the pirate queen. Yeah.
Captain Celiano or something like that. Celadano.
And so because Rainbow Dash convinces them to take on a life of piracy
again
and fight the Order, they're like, we're cool with you now.
What's amazing is that they decide to take on a this is one of my favorite sequences in the film for how stupid it is. Rainbow Dash basically says, you guys used to be awesome. Don't you like being awesome? And they're like, yeah, we're going to be rad pirates again. Anyway, and then they all go outside to celebrate that they're going to be pirates again. Rainbow Dash decides to do her Sonic Rain Boom.
Sonic Rain Boom.
Which immediately attracts the attention of the Tempest Army, who starts flying straight at the pirate ship. The pirate part, the fact that they convert them to pirates, never comes into play, because immediately they're boarded by the Tempest ship, and immediately after that, the ponies all escape out the bottom of the ship.
And they blow up that ship.
And they blow up the ship.
The fact that they were like, let's be pirates, mostly just screwed them.
Yeah.
This is a theme that runs throughout this, is the ponies make friends with someone, something bad happens, the ponies run away and abandon their new friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This happens with the Catman.
Well, not
now, granted,
really.
The Catman was their friend, but then turned out he was a jerk. But he later, tried to get Tempest to go the wrong way.
Yeah.
So he was essentially their friend and they didn't know it, but abandoned them. That's fine. Abandoned the pirates, just didn't even give the pirates a chance to maybe say, no, we don't have them, or we're going to fight you off of the boat. They drop out before anything has even happened. They just leave the boat and drop out the bottom.
Not so much so that their plan when they escape is to take all the parts they need to build a hot air balloon during their fall instead of building the balloon and then jumping out.
It must have been to sell a toy. Hasty hot air balloon is probably on the shelves right now at Target.
And again, this is one of those scenes where everyone is falling to certain doom, except, you know, out of the six or so people, four of them can fly, and one of them is magic, and only one of them is probably going to die.
Aren't two of them magic? I'm pretty sure Rarity
is magic.
Yeah.
Twilight Sparkle, who is magic and flies. You have Rainbow Dash, who flies. Fluttershy, who flies. So the only two that don't have a thing to do here are Pinkie Pie and Applejack.
And Spike.
But you have three people then who could then be carried by the three people who fly.
Or Rainbow Dash has cartoon super speed and could just zip down to the ground, drop them off, zip back up, get another one. In the time it takes for them to instead construct a hot air balloon using the same telekinesis they could just use to land, they use the telekinesis instead to construct a fun hot air balloon and go on a little ride.
Yeah. That's going to take them to Mount Airy, I believe.
Eris. Yeah.
Which is where the hippogriffs are.
It's hippogriffs. And I was sad because I had guessed in the theater. We were alone in the theater, so we could use our normal speaking voices.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking to each other because it was just us.
I was guessing it was going to be hippocampi, which is probably a little too deep of a pull.
Yeah.
But I was really hoping for fish horses because I figured, why would it be hippogriffs when you've got so many Pegasuses around? Who gives a shit about a hippogriff?
Well, you already
Pegasi.
Please. You already have griffins as well that exist. So having someone that's like part griffin, part pony
is kind of redundant.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Like, why wouldn't you say, hey, go get the queen of the griffins? which would probably be way better because Griffins seem way more aggressive.
More aggressive. They're tougher. It's
also, there's no way they haven't been subjugated by the Storm King already. Honestly, I'm just happy they didn't show up in his army.
So they head out that way and turns out there's no one there. There's a broken kingdom, just ruins as far as the eye can see. But, oh my goodness, they find one person when they fall into water and they all get magic bubbles. And this is one of my favorite scenes in here. They fall into bubbles, or they fall into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And they just sort of get washed into this cave full of water. And Twilight Sparkle, we get a close-up of Twilight Sparkle.
Jesus.
As she, like, looks around, kind of panicked, and then just closes her eyes
and accepts death.
Like, doesn't try to use magic, doesn't try to even swim to the surface, just goes, you know what? I've had a good run, and straight goes to die.
It's better this way.
You know what? I always thought this is how I would go out.
Yeah. It is very strange to see a children's cartoon hero give up and embrace death.
And then we fade to black for a good 10 seconds.
That could have been it.
I was like, roll credits. I mean, you know that so that they can add commercials to this thing when it's running on Disney XD next year. But in the meantime, what happens instead is the lights come back on and they have been rescued because bubbles have been placed around their head, which Twilight Sparkle actually has to say, I didn't do this.
Because I was trying to die.
Everyone's asking her if she did this because she can, and she didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And she's like, no, I failed us all. We'd all be dead if I had my way.
If it was my druthers, we'd be choking on water.
And it turns out they were rescued by a glowing ball of light that asks them, why would I be able to trust you? And their response is, because the Storm King is attacking, and she goes, good enough for me, and pops into frame, and it turns out she is indeed a hippocampus.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. I was so happy for a minute. It turns out that they turned themselves into fish horse to escape having to be wing horse.
Essentially the Futurama plot of Atlanta.
The Storm King attacked the kingdom of the hippogriffs. And instead of fighting back, they just turned themselves into seahorses and went underwater into the
giant bubble of salt water that makes up the core of this mountain.
Yeah, the inside of this mountain is water. That's all that's in there. It's a hollow mountain that is an ocean itself. So that's them. They then go ahead and there's, of course, another singing montage of them making friends, which Twilight Sparkle tells you to go do.
She used the montage.
She's like, I need you to go use a montage right now.
Go use the power of friendship so that I can get what I want.
I'm going to perform some light treason.
Yeah. Me. Twilight Sparkle is on some CIA shit right here.
Yeah.
And she knows she can't pull that shit on Queen Novo or whatever her name is. Yeah. That's Uzo Aduba.
And there is no way that is going to fly.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So they have a jelly. These hippogriff things have a jellyfish that holds a pearl that they can, turn hippogriffs or ponies into sea ponies.
It has the power of body horror.
Yeah. It is straight up a weird monster maker and, they need it.
Yeah, this is a part where you can tell that this is a children's show for children entirely. If I got turned into a mermaid and I was with my friends and we were all turned into mermaids, we'd all be running around screaming about where our dicks went for a good 10 to 15 minutes before I got back. But they're all just like, no, this is perfect. No problem. I like this.
I love it. Yeah. I love everything about this.
So they have a fun song and dance. Twilight Sparkle gets caught trying to steal the stupid gem. Uzo Aduba kicks her out of her kingdom.
Yep. Twilight Sparkle, again, is... like, has the idea of making friendship, but doesn't want to use it. Mm-hmm. She is the princess of friendship and never wants to make friends.
She's real bad at it.
Well, she's already got 7 friends, John.
It's true. And, like, canonically, they are cosmically the only important friends that she has.
They control the infinity gems of friendship.
Yeah.
Who needs other friends?
I'm kind of with her on that.
Personally, my big question is, why don't they send for the dragons? I mean, there's a dragon in this.
There is a dragon. They're not exactly allies.
Oh, okay.
There's not exactly a dragon kingdom you can go to and be like, yo, the dragons.
Okay, fine. Well, Spike's just a weird anomaly, and I'm all right with that.
Yeah, Spike's just a weird dragon that has a boner for a pony.
Yeah. He's got a crush on Rarity, right?
Yes.
Okay. That showed up for like one line in this thing.
And one line and boner sound effect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. There was a boy-oing.
Why?
Hi, Rarity. Your work's looking real nice.
That was so off-putting and strange. Oh man.
What was, I assume that was his tail. I have to hope and assume that was his tail.
We didn't see any bit of the lower half of him, so we do not know.
Anyway, they get kicked out. Yeah. So they get to the beach, and understandably so, the rest of the friends are like Twilight Sparkle.
Hey, you committed treason back there.
That was some light treason you just did.
That was high treason.
That was, not only did you commit treason, but you used us to do it.
Yeah.
You literally forced us into being your accomplices.
And her excuse is, well, I'm on some CIA shit.
Yeah. But I loved it. I love that what would have happened in this scene if she hadn't tried to steal the pearl is, she sends Pinkie Pie off to make friends. Pinkie Pie makes this girl a shell necklace. The girl is Princess Sky Star or something like that. She's the hippogriff who's been turned into a fish. They dance for a couple of minutes, and then Uzo Aduba sees them dancing. Queen Novo sees them dancing and goes, huh.
You know, maybe.
That shell necklace is nice.
We'll go to war.
Yeah. You know, you know what? You dance with my daughter. It's time to go to war.
We'll go to war. That's what would have happened. Just so you, I just wanted to put that out there. That's what could have happened.
There's one thing we could do, and it's kill our enemies.
So they get in a big fight. Pinkie Pie is all like, I can't even talk to you right now.
And Twilight Sparkle straight blows up and is like, I don't even need friends, man.
And then she gets kidnapped immediately. She goes to go cry on a rock and is immediately kidnapped in a prison cell that is where the bars are like twice as far apart as she is wide.
Yeah. And like she can teleport.
But
like,
these bars are anti-magic. She shoots it in the first time when she's like, yo, I'm going to shoot something with a laser beam. I just remembered I can do that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, these bars are anti-magic.
I don't know if they're anti just walking right through, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, she gets kidnapped and pulled up into the giant metal underbelly of Tempest's airship.
And there's a pretty rad villain song.
Really, I was a little mixed on it when it started. It finishes strong. It starts with kind of this trouble where you could tell that they didn't want to have a traditional villain bombast song on the soundtrack. Yeah. So it had to be another friendly pop song, but it finishes pretty strong.
Yeah. And it is her background where she was a young unicorn in a field of unicorns and gets her horn cut off and all the kids in her village, or at least the two she hung out with,
stopped hanging out with her.
Was like, oh, you can't float a ball anymore. We aren't friends.
And so she runs away from home as a child to become a warlord later in life.
Obviously.
I mean, it's got to be really hard for someone like Applejack to be sympathetic to her, because her whole story is, oh, I used to be a rad unicorn, and now I'm only half a rad unicorn. I'm still way better than a shitty nothing pony like you.
Now I'm dirt like you, Earth Pony.
Yeah, I'm dirt like
literally you. Literally named after dirt.
But I can still shoot lasers out of my head, and I am still accorded the respect that a unicorn is due.
No, it's balanced, Jeff, because Earth Ponies can farm.
Oh, right, I forgot. She's been cruelly denied farming.
Yeah. Look, I feel so bad for her. She is not able to do manual labor and dig of the earth. So it's a real shame about that.
Well, she sings a rad villain song, which basically is just like, hey, friendship sucks.
Yeah. Which it's great. It's great that the villain sang a friendship sucks song.
Yeah. And then, basically the villain Tempest more or less wins at this point. She drags Twilight Sparkle back to a big old kingdom. She locks her in a cage next to the three ponies that were turned to stone, and then she activates like some sort of super magic staff for the Storm King.
Yeah, one of my favorite things when the Storm King first actually shows up, like physically. We've only seen him once before.
One of my favorite things about this scene is the Storm King asks, like, hey, why isn't this pony turned to stone? And literally Tempest is like, oh, don't worry about it.
Yeah, she's like, that's it. We didn't have time.
Yeah.
We can't figure out how to finish the movie if we do that.
I got a bunch of those ball things right here. Let's get this done.
We have more. We know we have more because one will be used later.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh. Okay. He gets the power to control the night and the day, and we actually get a really fun sequence of him switching it rapidly from night to day.
Yeah.
And then,
pretty great.
Then the heroes assemble to rescue Twilight Sparkle, and it's everyone we've met all the way through the movie shows up to help. Although, the funny thing is that only one of the hippogriffs shows up.
Yeah, it's just the princess was like, yo, I transformed myself into a hippogriff, and I'm coming to help
you. I decided
you.
That treason that you committed wasn't a big deal.
I don't care about treason. You danced with me for 5 minutes.
I really like the shell necklace.
I don't think you understand how much I like this.
Here's the thing that drove me nuts about that. Once they get her on, and yeah, they get Catter or whatever, isn't it? Capper and the bird pirates on their team as well.
Which, the bird pirates, they've only brought those people misery.
Yes.
Those people lost their ship.
Oh, yeah.
And they lost their livelihood. But shoot, they decided to be pirates again. They feel awesome.
Yeah.
So they get the chance. They're all coming along. Here's the problem with this. I don't think Princess Skystar, or whatever her name is, the Hippogriff, is really all that impressive of a git.
Mm. No, not really.
What's her power? She's a pony that can fly? Color me unimpressed.
Hey, she's got like a beak and some front claws going on.
But the only thing she does in her one combat scene is throw shells at the enemy.
Her front legs are animated super weird.
They are. They look crazy. She looks ridiculous, but she doesn't do anything. I just don't think she's all that impressive of a get.
That's fair. We get our final big fight where they bring in a cake and the cake has all of the pirates and whatnot inside of it. And
Capper uses his magic power of lying to get them in the gate.
That is true.
Yeah, he uses his swindle ability to get in.
Trojan horse their enemies.
And they are immediately found out, jump out, and clown on these forces. Just like there's four birds, a group of like five ponies, and a hippogriff, and they just wreck. And this entire occupying force.
It's not like they could have done it without, or they could have done it. They could have easily done it without those bird pirates is where I'm trying to get here.
I don't know. The bird pirates were I felt like a get that like, okay, it's four of them and they've got all weapons. Combat trained. Yeah. Like
they're neat. They're certainly the coolest looking characters that were added in this film.
Oh yeah. Like at least they have swords and stuff.
Yeah. But still, these ponies are just like, there's a scene where Fluttershy basically gets one of the ape dudes to cry by being nice to him for a couple of minutes.
That is also one of my favorite things.
Yeah, that was great.
It was just like, hey, do you need to talk? And then cuts back later after a fight and he's just sobbing.
Also, Pinkie Pie apparently has infinite cupcakes because her contribution to the fight is to throw cupcakes at one ape dude.
She's a cartoon character. She has hammer space.
Yeah, like, she has hammer space.
She's the only one.
She has hammer space, but only for baked goods.
Yeah.
Like a pizza.
That's fine. That's a perfectly reasonable cartoon trait. There's a big old combat that happens where they basically use Pinkie Pie's idea to fire themselves out of a cannon.
Yeah, because the Storm King creates basically a tornado around the castle.
Yeah, he creates a tornado around the castle that not even the fastest Pegasus could get through. And I thought, this is what I thought was going to happen at that point. That was why Princess Skystar was there at all. Well, they're going to be like, that's what I thought. I thought that was going to be the arc.
Oh, well, we need Pegasus.
Yeah.
Well, I am no Pegasus, she says, and pulls off her helmet.
No, she's just pointless.
Yeah.
Is what she is.
Yeah. But no, because if she were faster than Rainbow Dash, that would be challenging the very might of the gods. She'd get turned into a spider or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rainbow Dash is like, has the typical like speedster Flash problem of like, they've given her too much power.
Yes.
Yeah. They've established that the Sonic Rain Boom is capable of some very, very overpowered things.
I wasn't even worried about the fact that if the Hippogriff was faster than her, I wasn't worried that it would make Rainbow Dash look bad, but literally that it would be challenging the gods of the universe. It'd be like, oh, we can't have Hippogriffs existing. They're faster than us.
Yeah.
They're faster than our fast things.
Yeah. Celestia would take flight from them.
You shall now live among the worms.
We have turned you into fish ponies. Please do not challenge our authority again. Not even respectfully.
We will be taking your pearl.
So we get our final battle, and Tempest sacrifices herself when the Storm King throws one of them stupid soccer balls at our main heroes and gets in the way, and the mist, I guess, blows back onto him too.
Well, she touches him as she's being overtaken by the stone thing.
I thought that was actually kind of a neat motion.
It was, it was
that's
really rad.
A stunt.
Yeah.
Like in RPG terms, that's a stunt.
Mm-hmm.
So he also gets turned to stone. Now they're falling over the edge of this, castle, and Twilight Sparkle or Rarity or whoever manages to telekinesis Tempest so that she doesn't die because she has her face turned when she finds out that the Storm King won't heal her horn she was promised.
Yeah.
The Storm King, however, falls to his death.
Yeah,
and
cracks.
Not in the,
he
not dies in the standard cartoon way of falling to your death where you fall into mist down a cliff and we don't see what happens. He shatters.
Yeah, they show pieces.
They show his eye. They show his terrified eye after death.
He is just in literal pieces. And
I guarantee you Celestia turned him back from stone so that he could feel his death afterwards.
She probably justified it. She was like, oh, he'll be easier to clean up if he's made of meat and not heavy stones.
Why is he still screaming? Oh, don't worry about that.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. He'll do that for a while.
Did you just question me?
Anyway, Tempest, because she does the one little good guy turn at the very end, gets to join the good guys, and we get to have our great big party we were supposed to have at the very beginning with Sia singing her Sia song, which is hilarious. There's a point where Rainbow Dad, or one of the ponies, is just straight up goggle-eyed staring at Sia, who's, by the way, is named like... Cascade.
Songbird
Serenade.
Yeah.
Because she's singing a fully mastered and studio mixed Sia track with a lot of auto tuning and stuff in it. And it's just coming out of this pony. And it even for a cartoon, it looks weird.
Yeah.
But then, you know, we find out that Tempest has a real name, Fizzle Pop Berry Blast or something like that. And they're all friends. And then we cut to the credits.
Yeah. Yep. And there you go.
We got to get to the end of this thing at some point.
All right.
My understanding is that they're about to record some dungeon dome up in here.
Ooh. So, yeah. There we go. Let's go ahead and do our best and worst. Let's start out. James, best thing.
Best thing about this movie. I'm going to say character designs for new characters. I really did like Tempest's design overall. I thought she looked like a cool pony in cool battle
armor.
They
really managed to get Hottie into her design.
Oh, and I saw the first interesting looking airship that I've seen.
Yeah.
I think,
the bird pirate airship was beautiful.
It was an airship that had sails. Like it. And they did something different with airships.
They were exotic bird plumage sails.
Yeah.
It was legitimately very cool.
Yeah. Please search for stills of this movie later, because that is neat. If you are one of those steampunk people, adapt that to your setting, please.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Jeff. Best thing.
Okay. I'm going to say my favorite thing about this movie is I was going to also say the bird pirates.
Yeah. I mean, go for it.
So I'm going to stick, although I did really like Uzo Aduba's voice performance for Queen Novo, but no, it was definitely the bird pirates. I loved the bird pirates. I like their design. I mean, their story's dumb. It's like someone forgot that they were pirates for a couple of minutes, and then someone reminded them, but they are very cool looking and they're very dynamic in the one combat sequence in the film. It's actually kind of fun to watch them. Watching the ponies fight is straight up boring.
Yep.
So that was nice. So I'm going to say bird pirates. What about you?
I'm gonna say probably my favorite thing in this is the Storm King himself is a very interesting villain in that he really is more of a CEO than he is a warlord.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems more like he's just interested in having all of this power, mostly for the image rather than the power.
Yeah.
Also, he's like, I'm named the Storm King. I should be able to make storms.
Also, he's Liev Schreiber, which was rad to see.
Yeah.
So Liev Schreiber's in this movie doing that. He was doing kind of a J.K. Simmons performance.
He was.
Yeah. And I appreciated it. I liked it. He did a really good job being an interesting villain.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say that.
Yeah. In his 3 minutes of screen time, he was great.
I liked the idea of him.
Okay.
All right. Worst thing in the movie, James, go.
God Queen Celestia is not given her due. Why the hell does she need other people to solve her problems? I need a full arc of My Little Pony where Celestia smites and punishes the enemies of Equestria.
You just want to see like that five dots of essence exalted fight. So it's just Celestia dealing with Celestia problems.
There is an episode of, like in season two where Twilight has ruined the world, like has just caused so many terrible things to happen. And Celestia shows up and in like a second fixes everything. And it sort of gives you the impression that like all of the threats that face Equestria, like in the next few seasons, you're like, oh, Celestia could have dealt with these any time. She's training Twilight into being a god, which is why she's allowing herself to be in danger. But this movie does not have that excuse. Celestia is just useless.
Mm. Yeah, that is very true. Jeff, worst thing.
I had this idea while I was watching the movie, and I've kind of been formulating in my head for a while. I feel like My Little Pony wastes space it could be using to make a lot of interesting messages and interesting stories for kids on what I generally consider to be the generic weakest milquetoast thing you can do in entertainment for kids. And that's just harp on friends is nice as
hey
your
man,
message.
Friendship is magic.
I will say, friendship is magic. Like what you normally see because of the elements of harmony is that it's broken down into different core themes that they investigate through the different characters. So friendship is composed of like six frankly bullshit. Some of them are complete. Pinkie Pie is bullshit because her theme is like laughter, I think, but like,
okay,
there are other things that they talk about.
All I'm saying is, these days when I turn on a kids TV show, I'm gonna get stories about like for example, take the Steven Universe episode arc about Pearl, you know, her "It's Over, Isn't It" song.
Yeah,
that is a challenging concept for a kid to understand. This concept I resent this child because this child is killed the person I fell in love with, but is also the child of the person I fell in love with. It's so complex.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, this is recycling stories that you would have gotten from 80s Noozles episodes. So just make friends. Friends
are
great.
Comparing any television program to Steven Universe, I feel like, is a losing battle, but I'm with you, and this movie was very weak.
I don't have to do, I can go lower. I don't have to punch like Mike Tyson in this. I could bring up Gravity Falls. I could bring up, Adventure Time. They all deal with more challenging messages and in interesting ways that this movie, I feel, squanders on just Friends is great. I mean, that's the sort of shit I expect from Bratz with a Z. So there you go. That's my least favorite thing. And unfortunately, I think it probably applies to the series as a whole, but who knows?
Yeah.
It certainly was the problem with the film.
Mm-hmm. Along that line, I'm going to say I harped on this a lot. It's supposed to be how Friends are so amazing and the movie does not deliver.
No.
Like they never stick around for their friends. It's basically just, we made friends and use them.
I mean,
the princess of friendship never gives a fuck about friends until it becomes important for her.
It is telling that it's just called My Little Pony the movie. The friendship is magic tag is not
there. It's interesting. I mean, like, literally, this movie is so short-shrifting most of these ponies that you can tell Applejack's about to talk because the song that's being sung adds steel guitar for a second.
Yeah, and honestly, a lot of the characters don't get anything in this. Like, Applejack and Fluttershy may as well not be in this movie. They have, like, two lines, and it doesn't matter.
I'm surprised they didn't cut them for the film. I mean, I understand that these movies need to have all of them for merchandising purposes, but when you do this, like, when you do this with Transformers movies and stuff, you kind of go, all right, so we have 50,000 Transformers. Unfortunately, this story is about these four who go on an adventure together.
Yeah, except this
one
is
always six.
When you make a Transformers
movie, it's always, we have 1,000 characters. Unfortunately, you're about to see this movie instead.
Yeah, I shouldn't point out Transformers as an example of how to do things correctly, should I?
No.
That's fair enough.
So yeah, my disdain for friendship that this movie has is weird.
I can see that.
That's my least favorite thing is, as much as they want it to be about friendship, they just don't really give you a good image of it very much.
Well, we're gonna...
So let's give our ratings
from 0 to 15.
0 to 5 for me and Jeff, and we'll just let you do your
my own
0
one
to 10. So, Jeff, why don't you give me a rating for this movie, My Little Pony?
I'm going to give it a 2.5. It's not great. There were a lot of things that even for a My Little Pony genre film, I feel like they could have made a lot of decisions that would have made it better. It could have had a more challenging story. I feel like when you move to movies, it's a chance to tell a new story. And I feel like this was telling a more basic story than I would even expect from the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving it a 2.5. It was... most of that point value is coming from interesting new characters, and some of the pop songs actually were kind of fun.
Yeah.
But the visuals were boring. The challenging visual shots were all done in cheap CGI, like cheaper than I would have expected. Like, there's a scene where a windmill is chasing them, and it might as well be a windmill from Reboot is chasing them.
Yeah.
So, 2.5.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to follow you on that. I'm going to give it a 2.5 as well. Basically the exact same reasons. I think it was a well produced movie. It definitely had a couple things that made me laugh out loud. It held my attention, though it wasn't particularly amazing. It was not what I would definitely be like, yeah, I would want to go see this with, you know, some relative that's younger that wants to go see it. I wouldn't be like, oh, sweet, I'll enjoy this as well. But I wouldn't hate it. So, you know, between the two of us, 5 out of 10, just very middle of the road.
I'm right there with you. It's 5 out of 10. I would wait for Netflix if you are a big My Little Pony fan, though literally all this does is reveal things about the universe that, like, you would probably prefer were not there.
It gives you some disturbing things to think about.
Again, well, it fucked you up with new races for this world.
I mean, look, if you just go back to 1982, Transformers the Motion Picture kills Starscream, turns Megatron into Galvatron, and then goes back to the animated series, like the original cartoon, and says, yeah, that's fucking canon now. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. And they had to for another 5 or 6 seasons of the show. This changes nothing. The next episode of My Little Pony will not reference this movie.
Yeah. No.
So there you go.
Should not.
Yeah. 5 out of 10 from everyone, just middle of the road. And thank you so much for tuning in. I want to thank James very much for showing up.
Thank you guys for letting me shout at you.
Do you want to plug some things?
Check out the One Shot Podcast Network. These boys are on it.
These special boys right here.
These special sweet boys.
These sweet, sweet smile boys.
Oh man. Also joining the McElroy's Network, apparently.
Yeah. You can check out my show, One Shot. We, run different role playing games, in different systems with different people. It's great.
Yep, super fun. We've been on it. You can check that out.
We are on it. We're part of that network. But the actual One Shot show.
Check out the One Shot episode they did. They did an episode with the man who penned the Transformers movie, the bad one,
the Bay one.
Transformers 1. We got to sit down and play a game with John Rogers, and I'm sure someday he'll forgive us.
But thank you so much for listening. And of course, you can go to systemmasterypodcast.com, find all of our stuff there. And, you can also get all of our podcasts on one convenient RSS feed if you go to Patreon. If you support us at any level, not only do you get bonus content for the System Mastery Podcast, you get everything we put out on one feed. You're going to get that super convenient. And you go to patreon.com/systemmastery. And you can help support us there. So if you like what you hear, do that. Lets us do awesome things, have cool guests, see movies in theaters, stuff like that. And if you want to, we appreciate ratings, reviews, things like that.
Cakes. We love cakes.
Yeah. If you want to send us your cakes, your sweet, sweet cakes, please send that to us. And check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Gmail, all that. We are System Mastery everywhere. We have our own Discord now.
You can find it on it's the only tweet we've ever stickied.
Yep. So
you can find it there.
Go check that out and join the conversation. We're in there sometimes. We've got an entire thread for memes that I want.
I'm in there right now ignoring everybody.
Yeah. So check that out, and until we are back in a couple of weeks with more Movie Mastery, you have a good one.